turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke chapter 17. We're going to consider a story with a theme I call today, the ease of ingratitude. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, as he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Jesus was weaving his way south from Galilee toward Jerusalem. And as he got to the border area of Samaria and Judea, as he was nearing the Jerusalem, he came to a village and 10 lepers stood at a distance and hollered at him. Now they were lepers and they were required to stand at a distance. Let's look back at an Old Testament verse, Leviticus chapter 13. Verses 45 and 46, in which God had given instructions saying, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." These are 10 men who probably came from 10 different directions. Perhaps one of them was a fisherman. Perhaps another was a carpenter. Perhaps another one was a sheep herder. Perhaps another one was a businessman. Whatever their lives were, they had contracted a form of leprosy. Now, the Bible uses that word leprosy to describe a lot of different skin conditions. That's why occasionally people actually did get over a sense of leprosy, because that word is used to describe lots of different diseases. But if this was the worst form of leprosy, Hanman's disease, it would be a death sentence. It would be a disease, as you've seen and heard about, that would disfigure a person and ruin their body and within 10 years kill them. And they were required under Jewish law to stay away from other people. In fact, the law at the time from the rabbis was that if you were if someone was downwind from you, you had to stay what we would call 50 yards away. 50 yards away. And you had to make it obvious, as the scripture had said, that you're leprous. You had to wear torn clothes, you had to cover your body in a certain way, and you had to call out to people, "I'm unclean," so that clean people would not get near you. Can you imagine being cut off from society like that? Can you imagine being that kind of alone? And yet these 10 men, who probably came from 10 different directions, they all sort of found each other, and they could hang out with each other because they all had that terrible sickness. And they've heard that Jesus is coming, and by this point in Jesus' ministry, his fame is all over the land because he's healed people of many different things. And they call out to him. They say, and they use the right word. They say, "Jesus, Master." And that word means commander in chief. You have the authority to do something about our situation. You're master over this. Help us. They're crying out in desperation to the only one who could help them. And isn't it interesting that they recognize that Jesus is Master? Jesus is going to Jerusalem, where the very scholars of his day in religion would reject him as Master, would absolutely repudiate him and disown him and want to kill him. But these men seek out his help. And when Jesus notices them, He gives them a very unusual command. I want you to notice that He doesn't go up and touch them like He did some people. He did touch other lepers. We had a story in a sermon a couple of months ago where Jesus touched a leper. But in this particular case, He just spoke to them. And He gave them an unusual command. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Now that seems weird. But you see, in their culture, when a person had contracted a skin disease, they had to report to their local priest. Because the priest acted as sort of a doctor in the sense of saying, well, you have a disease that's making you unclean. You have to leave your wife. You have to leave your children. You have to leave your work. You have to leave your town. You have to leave this community. You are unclean. You have to go. The priest kicked him out of town. But it was also that same priest that if a person by God's miracle got over the disease, they could report back to that priest and say, see, there's no more leprosy on my arm. There's no more leprosy on my body. I'm cleansed of this disease. And that priest had the authority to declare that person free of the disease and welcome them back into the community. Publicly say, this man or this woman is clean and is free to return to our town. It was the priest who kicked him out. It would be the priest who let him back in. So Jesus is telling these 10 men, go to your priest, the one who kicked you out of your life, the one who kicked you away from your job, the one who kicked you away from your family, the one who kicked you away from your town. Go to that priest and show them that you're well. Problem was, they weren't well yet. They were standing there with the leprosy. And it's only when they turned to obey Jesus' command and head toward their priest, what does the Scripture say? As they went, they were cleansed. As they went. You see, they had a decision to make. Am I going to believe that Jesus really does have this authority, that I'm going to start heading back toward that priest before I'm healed? And they did. To their credit, they did. And as they headed back to their towns, to wherever they came from, to their priests, to show that they were cleansed, as they did that, they were cleansed. There's a principle in the Bible that miracles occur through obedience. Miracles occur through obedience. As we obey God, the miracle is born. If those men had stood there and argued with Jesus and say, Jesus, we're not healed yet, they would still have leprosy. But when they obeyed His instruction, they were healed. So these 10 guys start heading off in 10 different directions. They're going back to their life. They're reporting to the local priest in their area. They're going to show that they're cleansed. And as they went, they were in fact cleansed. But one of them turned around. Verse 15 and 16, the Scripture says, then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. One of them came back. One of them returned to say thank you. He's hollering out, praise God, with all his might. He's emotionally thrilled at what has happened. And he comes back with emotion, and he gives thanks to Jesus. And the text says, now, he was a Samaritan. Now, you guys have heard me talk about this before. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They were not fully Jewish, and they were not fully Gentile. They were a mixture. And the pure-blooded Jews hated their guts. They couldn't stand them. That's why there's a parable of the Good Samaritan. Because to the Jews, there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. There couldn't be any such thing as a Good Samaritan. But they were half-breeds. But isn't it interesting that when these 10 men had leprosy, they didn't have any problem welcoming this Samaritan into their company? Because when they all had this death sentence upon them, social status didn't matter. They were all just lepers then. But this Samaritan, who's a half-breed, who doesn't have the same Jewish traditions as the other Jews, he does know enough to honor God. And he comes back to thank Jesus. And Jesus appreciates that. And Jesus comments on it. Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? That's an important question. Did nobody else come back to give thanks? Now, Jesus knew that these 10 men were obeying his instruction. They were reporting to their local priest like he told them to, but surely some of them could have returned to say thank you to Jesus before it was all said and done. Jesus asked that in question, and then Jesus made an important announcement. And it's not always clear in the English, not because there's anything wrong with English, it's just that languages are different, and so some things stand out more. He says, were there not no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And that word well literally means saved. It literally means your faith has saved you. Some of your translations may say that. Your faith has saved you. You see, all 10 were healed, but only one was saved. Only one was saved. Only one will be in heaven. Not only did his faith cleanse him by obeying Jesus' instruction, but his attitude of thanking God and giving thanks to Jesus allowed his soul to be cleansed as well. Isn't that something? And he was saved. Well, why didn't the other 9 give thanks? Perhaps they were too excited. They were too excited to think about it. Perhaps their minds were too busy with thoughts of getting to return to their old life, getting to go back to their work, getting to see their wife again, getting to see their children again, getting to get back in their community. Maybe their mind was filled with all the possibilities that could occur. They were just busy thinking of what their lives would turn out. Well, we can understand that. But I also think this story points out something that is so true in this world, and that is the ease of ingratitude. The ease of ingratitude. It's so easy to forget to say thank you. It's so easy. These 9 guys forgot. I don't think they meant to be mean. I don't think they meant to be ungrateful. They were just excited about being healed and having their lives restored and going to see their wife and kids and going to see their community. They didn't mean to be mean. They just were too busy and too excited to think of it. Well, we sit here in judgment of these men, but the truth is that, if we're honest, we ourselves forget a whole lot of times to say thank you to God. We forget. We may not have this kind of a dramatic event happen to us, but we often make the mistake of forgetting to say thank you. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2 says an interesting comment. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. But how often do we forget God's benefits? How often do we get so busy in our lives that we forget the benefits that God has bestowed upon us? The fact that we even have life. The fact that we're able to breathe today. The fact that God in His love chose to save us when we don't deserve it. As I've said many times, there's nobody in this room but sinners. There's nobody in this room, including me, that deserves God's salvation. God saved us by His grace. The benefit of family. That we have family. People we love and people who love us. The benefit of friends. Next week I'm going to preach on the value of friendship. How important it is to have friends. I'm so thankful to have 3 of my dear friends in church with us today who come up from Douglasville to hear me preach. Why they would waste time that way, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. How wonderful it is to have friends. To have people you love and people who love you. How meaningful that is. But do we forget to say, Lord, thank you for my friends? The benefit of provision. You know, the benefit that we may struggle financially in our lives or we may not, but at least we're able to maintain and we're keep going. And as we saw last week, is the church that their kids in Ghana, they have nothing compared to what we have. Nothing compared to what our children have. We have provision. The benefit of even living in this country, of being in the United States of America, and being blessed to be in the greatest country on earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. We take these things for granted. We don't mean to be mean. We just often forget to thank God for His blessings. And especially during this Thanksgiving week, we need to make an extra effort to thank God for the benefits He's bestowed upon us. And we also need to thank God for small things, little things that He blesses our lives with each day. Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9 say an interesting comment. Psalm 107 says, "Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for all His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul He fills with good things." Has God filled your life with some good things this week? I know He filled my life with good things. And sometimes it's simple things. Do you plan to have lunch today after church? Do you know that's a blessing to be able to do that? There are people in the world right now that they don't know that they're going to have food. And here we're trying to figure out which restaurant to go to. That's a blessing. Did you travel to church safely today? Did your car crank? I've got a dear couple in our church that they had three cars, and they told me all three of them didn't work one Sunday. One reason or another, they couldn't get here because all three cars acted up. You know, may not have the best looking car, but it cranked and we got here. It's a small thing, but it's a blessing, isn't it? God blesses us with lots of... There are literally hundreds of things that God bestows upon His children each and every week. Do we thank God for them? Do we remember to thank God for them? Say, "Lord, thank You. Thank You that guy who cut in front of me. I didn't hit him." I better say that a time or two. Oh, we need to thank God for something every day. Every day we need to be thankful. And we should continue, as we have today, to give God thanks in His house. To purposely give God thanks in church. Come into His presence with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Scripture teaches we need to continue to do that. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, say this. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise." Isn't that what we were doing earlier? That's what we should do every week. It's not a worship service if you're not singing. Oh, you can have a Bible study without singing. You cannot have a worship service without singing. Singing is... God gave us that gift to do that. I mean, have you ever thought about that? That God gave us the capacity to sing, to make songs, to make music, to play instruments, to sing with our throats and our diaphragm. And you should sing with your diaphragm. My voice teacher taught me that so much at Auburn. That we have the capacity to do that. He wants us to do that. To sing. Because when we sing, our minds are focused and our spirits are focused upon Him. And it doesn't matter if you sing in tune. When you're not on the praise team, don't worry about it. Just sing. God hears the heart. He hears the heart. Come into His presence with thanksgiving and a song of praise. That is what we are to do. This Thanksgiving week, make it a point to do more than just say a 10-second prayer when you get around the table for Thanksgiving meal. Turn your attention this week to the little things that God blesses you with each day. And don't forget the big things that He also has given you in your life this past year. Don't be like the 9 lepers who just got too busy and forgot to say thank you. Thanksgiving and focusing upon God to give Him thanksgiving is important. Now, I'm reminded of a very silly story that Tony Evans tells. And some of you probably heard a version of this story, but in case you have or haven't, let me share it. It's a story that illustrates the value of saying thank you to God and focusing upon God. In this story, there was an atheist professor who was walking in the woods one day, admiring all the things that he considered the accident of evolution. And he looked at the trees and how tall and beautiful they were. And he looked at the birds flying above them. He looked at the flowers and the grass that were on the ground. He looked at a river that was going down near the edge of where he was talking. He looked at the fish that were swimming in it. He looked at the flowers and all that there was. And he was just admiring everything that there was. And suddenly, out of the woods, came a 7-foot bear. And the bear began to approach him. And the atheist professor began to back up. And the bear began to get closer. And the atheist professor turned and began to run. And the bear began to chase him. And as he ran, the bear began to get closer and closer and began to overtake him. And all of a sudden, the professor tripped and fell into the ground. And the bear ran up upon him, ready to pounce and spring on him. And in that moment, the atheist professor wasn't an atheist. He said, "Oh God, help me." And suddenly time stopped. The river stopped flowing. The wind stopped blowing. The birds stopped flying. Everything was still. Time was frozen for a moment. And a voice from heaven came down to the professor and said, "Why? Why should I help you? Why, all your life you've denied me. You've taught your students that I don't exist. You've tried to disparage me at every turn. Why should I help you now?" And the atheist thought for a second. He said, Lord, that's right. It would really be hypocritical of me to ask you to help me now. That won't do, but I got a different idea. Let's make a different approach. Lord, make this bear a Christian." and the voice out of heaven said, "All right, as you said, it shall be done." And time went back. The river was flowing. The wind was blowing. Time was in. And that big bear stood over the man, put his paws together, and raised his eyes to heaven and said, "Dear Lord, thank you for this food I'm about to receive." Wasn't such a good idea outcome for the professor. That's a silly story, but it points out a real message. Thanksgiving to God's important. Focusing upon Him as the source of our blessings is really important. As we have this Thanksgiving week, let's not allow the ease of ingratitude to infect our lives. Let's make a pointed effort to remember to thank God. But not only should we use this Thanksgiving season to thank God for all His blessings and His benefits, but we should use this season also to thank other people. To thank other people who have been a blessing to our lives. Because other people have been a blessing to our lives, haven't they? There are lots of other people that have affected your life and mine. Have you ever stopped to actually thank your parents? Now, some people have bad parents, and I know there are people in our church that have had one or two terrible parents. But for most people, we had pretty good parents. Have we ever stopped to say, "Mom, Dad, thank you for the things you put into my life"? I'm reminded that a few years ago, I got a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was my dad telling me that my mother had passed away. And I never got the chance to say anything to my mom. She died suddenly. And being something of a minister, I wasn't ordained, but I was in seminary at the time, something of a minister, I had to be strong for my dad. He was completely bewildered. They'd been married over 50 years. So I spoke at the funeral. I conducted the graveside ceremony. I didn't even have the privacy or time to mourn myself because I had to be strong for him. And one thing I deeply regretted is I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to my mama. You don't know when the person who's put something into your life will be gone. We need to take the time now to say thank you. I call my dad every Sunday night. He's in a retirement home now, and I call him, I tell him about what our service did at church, and we talk about Auburn football and other things, politics a little bit. But last week when I called him, I said, "Dad, I'm preaching on gratitude next week, and I want to make a point to say thank you for all the good things you've done for me, the blessing you've been to my life." And he appreciated that. See, we don't do that kind of thing enough, do we? We don't. We just get so busy. Perhaps there's another family member, a brother or a sister, an uncle or an aunt, a grandparent or a cousin, somebody in your life that invested something into your life that's worthy of you saying thank you. Thank you. And perhaps this Thanksgiving week we might make a phone call and say, cousin so-and-so, grandparent so-and-so, whoever, I just want to tell you how much I love you and thank you for what you've done for me this week. Wouldn't that be special and different? Wouldn't that be more than just saying a quick prayer at the Thanksgiving meal? There's a value in saying thank you. Thank you. Maybe there's a teacher that you appreciate that helped you, but you never said anything to. My mom was a teacher. She later became an administrator and then a principal of a school. And I can remember clearly that when I was younger and we went to a football game, there was a high school student that came up and had been a student in my mom's program as an elementary school student. And there was a young man, he came up, he said, Mrs. Jones, I just want to thank you for helping me in school. And I remember my mom almost welled up with tears because I think that was the first time a student had actually come back and said something to her. I can guarantee you people will appreciate it. There's a power in saying thank you. Paul wrote a verse, Philippians 1:3. He's writing to this church at Philippi, and he said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He's saying to his friends at Philippi, every time I remember you, I thank God. And I want you to know it. By writing you this, I'm thanking you. I want you to know that you're my friends. I care about you. I love you. And every time I think about you, I thank God. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. We need to make a point to say thank you. Thank you binds people together. Thank you has a power to it. You know, we all need encouragement. In our church, we have a hello time in the middle of the service. It's the only church I've ever been a part of that does that. Now, many churches will do that in the beginning of the service. Some of them will do it at the tail end. We do it right in the middle. You know why? Everybody in this room needs encouragement. Everybody in this room needs to feel valuable, to feel appreciated. We all need encouragement. The person behind you, the person beside you, the person in front of you, they need encouragement. And maybe a quick word to that person is the exact word that they need for their life for this week. We all need encouragement. There's power in that. And what a message it is when you tell somebody thank you for something you've done for them. Well, we don't mean to forget. We don't really intend to be ungrateful. Usually not trying to be unkind. It's just so easy to be busy and forget to thank someone. Gratitude takes effort. Ingratitude takes none. And as our lives are busy, we just simply allow ingratitude to fill in. It just happens. But I'm challenging you and challenging myself this week, don't let it happen. There's a great power in the words, thank you. It's a great blessing to another person to hear that. And there's a humility in saying that, that God Himself can bless. Scripture is very clear. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Let us thank God. Let us thank others. Let us not allow the ease of ingratitude to infect our lives. Let us remember that our blessings come from our source of Almighty God, and that people are the channels often which He gives those blessings through. Let us be like the Samaritan in the story, who knew where his healing came from and made it a point to point it out. Let us thank God and thank people. Thanksgiving is important. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you chose to love us. You chose to love us, Lord, and none of us are worthy of it. You chose to love us, Lord, and you chose to keep loving us, Lord. And you've chosen to make us your children and to build in us with great patience and care the character of your Son, Jesus. Lord, this week as we come to Thanksgiving time in our country's culture, may we as your children be conscious of giving you thanks. And may we be humble enough to thank other people. Lord, it all starts with you. Thank you for your love. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.